Gracious and loving God, Good Shepherd, we who are so easily confused, so often lost, we pray your words would find us. Amen. Jesus speaks of being lost and getting found. He speaks to tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners, those who know that they are lost. He speaks to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, those whose task is to find the lost and bring them home. Like all those to whom Jesus speaks, Jews in Palestine 2,000 years ago, Christians through all ages, and to us this morning, we must decide to which of these groups, Pharisees and sinners, we belong. Or we might decide that we belong in different ways to both. It is obvious what the sinners want from Jesus: a sympathetic ear, forgiveness for their sins, and maybe a new start in life. And this Jesus offers. Recognizing their humility, their openness to the grace of God, Jesus insists that redemption is possible for all people. Everyone who is lost can be found. The Pharisees, the teachers of the synagogues and the defenders of the law of Moses, they are a more complicated bunch. It is less obvious what they want. They are dismissive of the sinners gathered around Jesus, but not of Jesus himself. It is clear to them that Jesus is a righteous man. It is clear that he understands the law of Moses and that he loves the law. We are not surprised by those moments throughout the Gospels in which the Pharisees seem to be courting Jesus. They would like him to join their club. Jesus, for his part, willingly attends their dinners. He teaches in the synagogues. He answers all their questions. But he proves equally friendly to the outcasts, the sinners, the riffraff. And this the Pharisees cannot accept. The Pharisees divide the world very simply into good guys and bad guys. The good guys, like them, follow the rules, the laws of Moses. And when they look at the sinners who gather around Jesus, what they see are people who break the rules. Jesus, of course, doesn't see it that way. There is for him little to choose between the unrighteousness of the sinners and the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. For Jesus, the law exists to unite God's people, not to divide them. It is clear that all people sin and fall short of the glory of God. In this sense, we are all of us lost. Yet equally all people are loved. Indeed, the law exists for love. And through the law, all the lost are to be looked for and found and loved. So Jesus tells two stories. Imagine you have 100 sheep, he says, and one of them goes missing. What do you do? You will leave 99, you will go and look for the one who is lost. You will find him. When you find him, you will bring him back. You will greet your neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." The power of this parable lies in everything that it leaves out. The question of blame, which I think to the Pharisees is probably the first question, Jesus leaves out entirely. Why did this particular sheep go missing? Well, Jesus just puts that to one side. Or the need for repentance. And imagine this sheep, you know, after being found, feeling this obligation to apologize to the shepherd and say, "Look, shepherd, I'll never do it again, I promise." All of that Jesus leaves to one side. There will be time afterwards for such things, plenty of time, but first things first, let's go and find that sheep. Instead of blaming the sheep, Jesus praises the shepherd. How he will leave 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep, and he finds it. Jesus tells another parable, even more simple than the first one. Suppose you have 10 coins and you lose one. What do you do? Well, you're going to tear the house apart, look for your lost coin, all the cushions off the couch, and you're going to find the lost coin. And when you find it, you will rejoice. Jesus speaks both parables to the Pharisees and to the sinners, and he leaves them to draw their own conclusions. Certainly, the tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners will know that they are the lost ones in the stories. They are the cause of all the trouble. Yet they will also know that the shepherd loves them. The woman, the diligent housekeeper, she values them. And so the sinners have their humble but legitimate place in the story. They will be found, and there will be rejoicing. The Pharisees, who cannot imagine themselves as the lost ones, must, if they listen attentively, conclude that they are bad shepherds and lazy housekeepers. In this sense, they too are lost. And then there is Jesus, the teller of these two stories. He is both the lost and the finder of the lost. He stands willingly condemned by the Pharisees. This man welcomes sinners, they say, and eats with them. Therefore, he must be a sinner. Yet Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them, not that he might become one of them, but that he might rescue them. Jesus is like a man who descends a rope from the top of a steep cliff. He climbs down the cliff to another man who is trapped below him. He greets the man, comforts him, encourages him, and then he helps the man climb up that same rope to the top of the cliff where he is safe and he will be rejoiced over. The cliff is sin, very steep, dangerous. And the rope is the law. And by that law, that rope, Jesus is connected both to the world of the lost down below and to salvation up above. By that rope, Jesus connects the lost to the found. The law, which is love, reaches and rescues. Jesus, who is love, reaches and rescues. The Pharisees, also standing at the top of the cliff, they witness all this. They discover that they also hold a climbing rope in their hands, but they had forgotten what it was for. They had been so determined to protect the rope, but not to use it. But now, perhaps, we hope they understand. And what does the man, the trapped climber, now say after he has been rescued? What does a man who once was lost and now is found tell the world when he has caught his breath, greeted his friends, and is now determined to spend the rest of his life rescuing others? Well, I think St. Paul is one such man. We know from the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul, in his early days called Saul, he was an angry, a self-righteous Pharisee, and a persecutor of Christians. Here is another Pharisee who used the law not to unite people but to divide them. And as we read about him in the book of Acts, chapter 9, we read this, that Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any Christians, any who belonged to the way, men or women, he would bring them bound to Jerusalem. So as we first meet Saul, he is lost, though he does not know it. Happily, the story continues with the account of his rescue. Now, as Saul was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Many years later, Paul will recount his rescue. And we heard this in our epistle lesson this morning. He writes a letter to his young colleague, Timothy. And what is remarkable in Paul's account, what is remarkable in both of those parables that Jesus speaks, is that the rescue comes first. There is rescue, and then there is rejoicing, and then there is repentance. Precisely, I think, the reverse of the orders the Pharisees would insist upon. First there is rescue, then rejoicing, then a full repentance. So this is what Paul writes. Here is the account of a rescued man. He says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, who considered me faithful, even appointing me to his service. Though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now here is a saying that deserves your full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Jesus speaks two parables this morning about being lost and getting found. Paul offers his life as such a parable, being lost and getting found. I would like this morning to close with one more. This was written by Margaret Wise Brown in 1942. Some of you will know this story. It is called The Runaway Bunny. And I invite you to recognize yourself in this story. I invite you to recognize our loving God in this story. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I'm running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on the mountain high above you." "If you become a rock on the mountain high above me," said his mother, "I will become a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are." "If you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus in a hidden garden." "If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener. I will find you." "If you are a gardener and find me," said the little bunny, "I will be a bird and fly away from you." "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will become a little sailboat and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind. I will blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind and blow me," said the little bunny, "I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze." "If you go flying on a flying trapeze," said his mother, "I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you." "If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air," said the bunny, "I will become a little boy and run into a house." "If you become a little boy and run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother. I will catch you in my arms and hug you." "Shucks," said the little bunny. I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny. Thanks be to God. Amen.